Good morning, you're listening to FordDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Parr. I'm in Tucson, Arizona with Mark Bischoff, the president and CEO of Starnet. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Kemp. It's nice to be with you again in a beautiful resort property.
We're at the Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort. So let's update the listeners. This is the fall meeting for Starnet, and it's attracted 270 total attendees, including the vendors.
We had two excellent presentations yesterday, one from Sourcewell. James Burge spoke to the group, and a second one from ITR, which is a perennial favorite for everyone in attendance, and that was Taylor St. Germain, who had a really optimistic outlook on the next few years.
You got 177 members, and how many locations does that represent now?
Yeah, I think we're at 453. Sometimes we have to chase the members down to get the most up-to-date information, but it's very common for our members to have multiple locations these days.
So how are the members doing?
We went around in the board meeting and took a little informal poll, and it really was all over the place. I think some of the members, depending on where they're at geographically, were happy to be flat and a little up on their business. Some were looking like dot-com companies where the growth was pretty significant and they were concerned about managing that growth. There was some sentiment around jobs being pushed or the relentless chase to get a commitment. So there's a lot of wink and a nod, you have the job, but no contract. So there is some frustration with the members on the delayed decisions or the difficult decision paths.
How is the membership evolving?
Well, we have a lot more members into multifamily these days. That's probably been the hot trend over the last few years. We have another emerging trend where they're taking on some of these more sophisticated projects like data centers. So we're looking at resinous flooring and some other interesting solutions for those projects. Almost every member is getting a little bit outside of the flooring only universe, meaning they're adding extra services their customers are asking them for. And we think longer term, they're going to be more bundling. This follows the trend of subfloor leveling, which used to be all outsourced or subcontracted by the members. Most of them have brought it in-house. The other product program that went that way was ceramic. That used to be subbed or it was tile only specialist, and now most of the members have brought ceramic inside. So we're seeing that now with painting, acoustic treatments, resinous flooring, and the members will do what they've done in the past to be successful there. I just think the evolution will come much quicker.
So not all flooring has to come out of a box, right?
There are actually some really interesting solutions that follow the money. And if you look at where the investment is going in the marketplace, data centers is all we hear from Dodge and some of these other economic forecasters. And that requires specialty flooring that does not come out of a box.
What's the average age of the members that are here?
I don't know that metric, but I will say that we're happy that the age ranges are much more diverse than they were a few years ago, and we have a lot of very powerful female leaders here this year.
Obviously, tongue-in-cheek here a little bit, but I'm seeing a lot of the next gen that's here, and it's refreshing to see, and the parents that started these businesses are sending their kids to these meetings, and they're getting together and learning the business, so that's one trend. Another one is obviously consolidation. I hadn't been here 5 minutes, and one of your members walked up and said, "You hear, I sold my business." So some of that's going on as well, right?
Been around the Starnet group for many years, and it used to be that the concern was what happens when these folks get older and there's no one to take over the business. We don't have that issue anymore because there's multiple paths. Obviously, we like the in-the-family succession. That's probably the best, and we have some great stories, and you've covered some of those in your publication. In addition, there's a lot of interest from private equity and members buying other members. It's pretty attractive to have a Starnet membership and then have a friend that you've been seeing at meetings over the years reach out to you and say, "Hey, I'm looking to exit," and you can sell your business to your friend and not a stranger. So there are some great stories coming out of succession, and we're very happy that most of the original 12 are still in Starnet in one form or another.
Let's talk about the challenges, and specifically, let's talk about, you know, the diversify topic and also the Lowe's Artisan Design Group topic?
There is continued consolidation, and because of private equity, some of these roll-ups are happening rather quickly. Diversify is a very good member, and they're a large, powerful contractor, different model, and I would say probably a unique model in the industry these days. This has been attempted in the past, and for various reasons, it didn't stick, and obviously they're hoping to learn from all those prior challenges, and we'll see what happens with them, but they're really pushing the marketplace, and it's interesting to see how they do. Obviously, our approach at StarNet is if we do a good job and we add value to Diversify's business, they'll be a great StarNet member for a while. On the Lowe's ADG, that's a little bit different in that we've not had to deal with a large corporate entity in our business since the vertical integration from the late 90s. And this is a bit different. Lowe's and Home Depot and a lot of these large organizations have been very deliberate in describing that they want the pro customer. They're tapping out the growth on the individual homeowner. They can only open in so many stores. So they're aggressively pursuing this path. They've stated it over and over again in their earnings calls, and we anticipate there'll be an acceleration here. We do know they're not very interested in the general contractor business. As much as our members complain about their wonderful general contractor customers, I don't think Lowe's ADG is too excited about that. So that's one part of it. The other part of it is we're at StarNet, we're giving our members multiple ways to chase what Lowe's and Home Depot call the maintenance, repair, and operations business. So if our members want to go head-to-head and be entrepreneurs and do a little bit better than the big guys, they'll be able to do it.
All right, so let's talk about, you mentioned ITR gave a presentation. Give a quick summary of that. I think our listeners would like to know what the economist is calling for the future.
Very positive. A focus on investment in North America, primarily Canada and the United States, but there was a little discussion around South America and Mexico, which I believe is part of North America, if my geography is right. This consolidation into the Western Hemisphere of economic power and trading. He did stay away from the topic of the day, which is politics, and stayed with the data and the demographics. And he was very positive on the next few years. There was always a warning from ITR on what they believe will change in 2030. And that's really demographically and debt focused, that combination. But there is a encouragement of our members to make investments in their people over the short term because they believe there will be labor scarcity over the longer term and increasing labor costs, as well as the challenges in interest rates, which are falling now, but they believe will come back up. And our commercial business always follows housing. So if the interest rates are dropping, housing should accelerate, and then we'll see the delayed demand curve come out of that. He also was very specific about which segments would be strong and when they would be returning to growth mode. Office is still soft. That's not good for our members. But as he showed his charts, as you get into 27, office was going to start to return to growth. So a lot of good threads in his story.
He did, though, kind of say that we're at the bottom right now. And if you've made it this far, everything's positive from here, right?
Yeah, that was the other part of the message, that the future was bright over the next few years. And I have a lot of faith in our members. They've survived several recessions and a lot of upheaval in the marketplace and tend to come out stronger. Some of our members are the strongest they've ever been. I'm very confident in the entrepreneurs in our organization.
So riddle me this. You've got ITR standing up there saying we're at the bottom and things are looking positive. And then you see the Architectural Billing Index, and it was really low this last time. And that's supposed to be a 9-month preview of what's to come. So that's interesting to think about, isn't it?
Yeah, and we've been pushing our members to make sure that they're chasing the renovation business. There's so much space out there, and it needs to be retooled. It's really anything outside of Class A office space isn't working, and you're seeing major changes in senior living and healthcare and hospitality. Most of these properties are well-positioned. They just need updated, and technology is impacting everything, including our finishes. So we've been pushing the members to make sure that they're front and center center with end users, they're following the money, and that maybe the A&D community is not the sole driver of demand, that we have to pick up the pace on our communication to make sure that people know that our members are very sophisticated, can do multiple trades, multiple solutions in these spaces, and turn them from B or C spaces into Class A.
Okay, Mark, I appreciate the update on this fall meeting here in Tucson. Again, been talking to Mark Bischoff, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloridaLA.net.